you to Grace Bible Church this morning. We're glad that you're here, and we look forward to worshiping our great Lord today as we gather together with His people. I want to, for our call to worship, just read Psalm 108. If you either want to follow along or just listen, just reading this psalm and maybe making a couple points. Psalm 108. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise Thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises among Thee among the nations. For Thy mercy is great above the heavens, Thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Be Thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and Thy glory above all the earth, that Thy beloved may be delivered. Save with Thy right hand and answer me. God has spoken in His holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Over Philistia will I triumph. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not Thou, O God, who hast cast us off? Wilt not Thou, O God, go forth with our hosts? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for He it is that shall tread down our enemies. This call to worship, this call to praise the Lord and do it, yes, this psalm says early. I don't know about you, but I sometimes struggle with the mornings. I have to wait for the coffee to process, get myself awake, kind of get the caffeine flowing through, and then maybe we can have a little bit of a smile here and there. But the Bible encourages, and I'm sure many of you know what that's like, the Bible encourages us, yes, to even wake early, and the first thing that should be on our mind and on our lips is praise to our God, that He's given us this earth to live in, that He is in control of all things, that He is governing the nations. And yes, I know we live in times of tumult, and there's a lot of things that happen in our world that bother us, and we don't understand them. We question and think, why, Lord, are these things happening? Why are these people acting this way, or different things happening in nations around the world? But notice all those nations that were listed here in this psalm, it is that we as God's people will have victory despite them. The Lord is our help. It says there that vain is the help of man. And I hope that this morning that as you come here to worship, that your trust will be pointed to the Lord. We don't put our trust in the politics or in different people or different nations, but in our Lord who is over them. Through God we shall do valiantly. We can be courageous. We can go and conquer in the name of truth because God will tread down the enemies. It may seem like on this earth, at least, that many times evil has its way. And the enemies of truth may at times advance and have their way, and things change in our country, and it seems as truth has just fallen, but we still serve a mighty God. And it is our responsibility as believers to act valiantly, to praise the Lord's name, and to continue to honor and serve Him. I hope that that's our mindset this morning as we've gathered to worship Him, as we sing hymns together, and as we hear a message from God's Word. Brother Woods.
You may turn to number 26. In just a moment, we'll stand and sing all three stanzas, Great is Thy Faithfulness, after which Roger Brainerd will come and lead us in prayer. We'll remain standing at the time. Number 26, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Let's stand as we sing.
Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for your great love, your mercy to us. We're so undeserving of that love. And we want to praise and thank you today. We've assembled here in your house to do just that, to bring honor and glory and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ, he who was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be able to fellowship forever with him in heaven because of the work that he did for us there on the cross. Father, we want to pray for those that are not able to be here today. We think of those from this fellowship who have traveled. We're so thankful for the traveling mercies that you've given this summer to all of our people. And we think of those that are presently away from us. We think of our pastor and his family. Father, I ask that you would give them special rest and grace as they prepare to head back on Tuesday. We think of many others from our fellowship who have traveled and will be heading back this week, as well as others who will be leaving. Father, we ask that you would have your hand of protection upon them and give them a sweet time of fellowship with their family and friends as they travel away from us. Father, we do pray that you would be with ministries all around the world today who are preaching the gospel on this Sunday. Lord, we pray that you would uphold them. May the word of God go forth with power. We think of the Salem Bible Institute there in Haiti. In the middle of that session, one-month session, Father, we pray special grace for them. And we ask especially that you would provide financially for them so that they can continue to have a far-reaching effect there in the land of Haiti. Father, we pray for our nation. Lord, we think as the election draws closer, how desperately we need your grace and your mercy on our behalf with the decision of what leader will lead this country. And Lord, we leave it in your hands. We certainly do deserve what we get because of how we've strayed so far from the moorings of the scripture. But Father, I do pray that you would show great love and mercy to our country with regards to the upcoming election, and may our country turn back to thee. May we leave the grips of unrighteousness and the wickedness that is so spread all over the land, and may we return back to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and belief. And Father, we pray that you would bless this ministry that you've raised up, all the different aspects of it, the school, the learning center, the Children's Bible Club, the sports program, all of these things, Lord, are endeavoring to point boys and girls, their parents, to Christ. And we pray that you would have your special hand of blessing upon this ministry. And now, Lord, we pray that you'll bless in our service today. May we exalt the name of Jesus Christ throughout the singing and throughout the preaching of your word, and help us to let your heart work, do its work in our hearts today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, if you would please turn to number 229. Number 229, as we sing together, keep in mind now what we're doing is admonishing one another to put our focus of attention upon the wonderful blessings, the wonderful graces and truths and gifts that our Lord has given to us. And let our spirits just rise and soar with the words of the poet who put these songs together, who wrote the poems, wrote the hymns. So they're for us to enjoy and share with one another. And it's so good to see some visitors here today. If the songs are unfamiliar to you, then just take your book and follow through and let the text of the poem bless your heart as we sing together. The rest of us are going to sing out with all we have. Number 229, stanzas 1, 2, and then 5. Yeah.
was sad till I met Jesus. My friends were gone and life seemed vain. I sought for riches and for glory. Each joy had turned to grief and pain. Then one day I met my Savior, met him in the twilight dim. Joy overwhelmed my soul and sorrows vanished, and I'm happy since his love came in. I scoffed at those who spoke of Jesus. I laughed at those who stopped to pray, until I failed in quest of honor and glittering idols turned to clay. Then one day I met my Savior, met him in the twilight dim. Joy overwhelmed my soul and sorrow vanished, and I'm happy since his love came in. The years I spent in useless pleasure, the hours I lived in idle play, seemed worthless and my heart was breaking. I longed to know a better way. Then one day I met my Savior, met him in the twilight dim. Joy overwhelmed my soul and sorrow vanished, and I'm happy since his love came in.
He met his Savior, he met the gospel face on, and the gospel was the power of God unto salvation. And when he trusted that gospel, God's love came in. Turn to number, please, number 11, and let's sing of that power that's not just in the gospel, but it's in the creation. I sing the mighty power of God. And as we do this, let's keep in mind, God moves mountains, but he moves sinful hearts who will trust him and save them. Number 11, we'll sing, please, on stanza 1 and 3.
I sing the mighty power of God.
Thank you.
your Bibles this morning to Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah 7, we're continuing this message that was preached from Jeremiah to the people of Israel in our series in the book of Jeremiah. And we've come to verse number 24. Last time we covered the fact that these people, the people of Israel, were being judged because of their private lives of sin. They had one life that they lived in worship. They had one life that they lived in public. One life that everybody saw, and yet when they went home, they were full of idolatry. And there was a secret life of sin privately, conducting these rituals of the false gods. Verse number 17 mentions that they're doing things in the cities, in the streets, gathering wood, fathers making the fire, women kneading the dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven, to pour out drink offerings. All these secret sins that were going on in private in the hearts and lives of these people. We left off last time in verses 21 through 23. Of what was the one thing that the Lord wanted from these people? Back in the days of the Pentateuch, back in giving the law to Moses and in expounding these things to the people of Israel, God did not necessarily command and make sure you've got to do these sacrifices this certain way, and you've got to come in and do the, like verse 22 says, I didn't command you about sacrifices and burnt offerings, but there's one thing I commanded you about, and that was to obey the Lord your God. If the factor in the situation of obedience is followed through, all the other things the Lord commands just fall into place. Just obeying the Lord, having that mindset and that heart, not obedience in the sense, I don't want you to think of this obedience as just every single task, obey, obey, obey. It's more of a mindset that these people were to have, that what the Lord God Jehovah gives, what the Lord God Jehovah requires, is something that I want to do. It's something that in my heart I desire to obey Him. And the Lord was looking for that heart from His people, and sadly, it wasn't to be found. They had tossed away the things that they had been taught. They did not, in verse 23, obey His voice. They did not walk in the ways that was commanded. And now, things are not going to be well with the nation of Israel. Let's begin in verse number 24. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Let's pray. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the word this morning. We've read this passage of Scripture, and as we're going to discuss the spiritual sin of the people of Judah, Father, you would convict our hearts of our ways that are so often against your ways. Lord, help us to be amenable this morning and teachable as we listen to your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As the Lord looked out again over Judah, he saw a people that were full of religion, but didn't have that heart of obedience. You know, religion is something that is so easy for us to fall into. I thought about what our pastor was preaching last Sunday morning as he talked about, you know, the little list, and we just check off the boxes. And yes, I'm religious because I do this, this, and this, and I fall right into that mold of religion. That's not what the Lord is looking for. He's looking for obedience to His voice. And many times I think we tend to fall into that religious mindset, you know, checking off the boxes and thinking, you know, hey, we never make mistakes. I'm fitting into this perfectly good religious mold. I'm always right. And sometimes we can even get that superiority complex as believers because, after all, we're more religious than some other people over here. And the Lord is wanting to remind us that He saved us from our own evil hearts. He saved us from the depths of what we really are. And, you know, comparing and all those kind of things. It's not wise to do in a religious mindset. And here's what exactly the children of Israel had done. Here they are religious. They're doing a false religion, but they're religious. And they're comparing themselves to other nations and saying, oh, surely the Lord is not going to judge us. You know, yeah, we may do some of the same things here and there, but after all, we have the temple, we have Jerusalem, we're the center of God's worship, the Lord's going to be merciful to us. And they compared themselves, believing that they were better than other nations and were not in reality. Now, God was not worried about that outward and fake religion. That's not what He's looking for. He's not looking for an outward fake religion. He's looking for obedience. He's looking for obedience. And as we already mentioned, how did the people of Israel, these 2.5 tribes in this case, respond to God's call of obedience? And throughout the rest of this chapter, we're going to divide it into 3 major sections. We're only going to cover the first one this morning. But the first section is going to be the spiritual sin. That's what we just read this morning up through verse number 28. The spiritual sin of the people. In verses 29 through 31, later on we're going to talk about the religious sin of the people. And then finally, the rest of the chapter, we're going to discuss the final testimony. What are people going to remember? What are people going to see? What is going to come to people's mind when they look at spiritual sin, religious sin, and God's judgment on it? What will come to mind? And this morning, as we look at verses 24 through 28, as we focus in on the spiritual sin of Judah, I want to summarize it in a couple little phrases here. The spiritual sin of Judah, we're going to call the rebel's path. The rebel's path. Later on, as we look at the religious sin in verse 29 in another message, we're going to call that the hypocritical path, the hypocrite's path. So this morning, I want us to look in and talk about how Israel was rebellious. What are the things that they did that were evidence that they are on a path of rebellion? This spiritual inner sin of the people. Rebellion is a choice that happens in the heart. It is something that a person decides that they do not want what God has offered them. It is a path of rejection. It is a hard course that is set in someone's mind. So as we look at this spiritual sin of Judah, of their disobedience, did you pick up on some of the phrases in the passage that we read? Of the things that they did not do. They didn't hear. They didn't incline their ear. They went backwards. They did not do what the Lord had requested of them to do. What I've just described and what we've read in these verses is the pathway of the rebel. Now, as we look at these verses, I want to summarize them in that way and think of it this way. If you this morning want to be a rebel, if you want to go out and do your own thing, if you're sick and tired of God's way, maybe it's a young person here, maybe it's a middle schooler, maybe it's someone who's older, about to go to college, maybe it's someone who's married and has a family. It could be an old elderly person as well. This can come to anyone that has this mindset of, I don't want God anymore. I am tired of this truth stuff. The world is constantly bombarding all of our families to pull us away from God. They don't want you to love the Lord and know the Lord. And so if in your deep heart of hearts, no one knows what your heart is. The Lord does. I don't know it. But perhaps there's some this morning that way down in your heart, you want to be that rebel. You're just biding your time. If you want to do so, then I'm going to give you 7 easy steps to be a rebel. This morning through these verses, we're going to look at how to be a rebel in 7 easy steps. Take inventory of your heart this morning, Christian. Take inventory, young person. Are any of these steps, these characteristics in your heart in life? Let's look at, first of all, in number 1. The first step to be a rebel is don't listen to God's Word. It's that simple. It's where it starts. Don't listen to the Word of God, the principles from God's Word. That is perhaps the most first and the most basic step in rebellion, where you decide, I don't want God's Word. I don't care what it says. I don't care if it's right or wrong. I look to myself as the authority for my life. The Bible is no longer the authority. It's more important what I feel is right. You ever heard that language in our society today? It's what I feel is right. It's what I think is right and proper. We were going over this with our young people as we've been studying bibliology in our Sunday school class, emphasizing the authority of the Bible to them. Why is inspiration so important? Inspiration says, I believe God gave me this word, that this is God's word, and therefore it has authority. It isn't just some random made-up myths and sagas from different people throughout history. This is from God Himself, and I'm therefore accountable to that. I reminded them of a quote. I wrote this in my Bible. Many, some of you may remember back in 2009, we had evangelist Rick Moore with us. And he said something that just stuck in my mind. I wrote it down. He said something to this effect. The I think it's okay and the I don't see a problem with it mentality. You hear that today? You confront somebody about what they're doing. Well, I don't think that's a problem. I think it's okay. I don't see anything wrong with that. That's my opinion. Leave me alone. You hear that mentality. He says that mentality is wrong because it is us setting the standard instead of who? God. We have become standard setters in our life relatively. Why? Because we don't listen to the principles of God's Word. The first thing a rebel does is he believes that he makes the standards. The rebel says, I decide what's right and wrong. Not my parents, not the authorities, not God's Word, not people God has put in my life. It's me. I get to decide what's right and wrong, and everybody else can just leave me alone about it. That's the mentality of the rebel. We see this beginning in verse number 24. That they hearkened not. They did not incline their ear to what? The Word of God. The Word of God that had said, I am looking for obedience. They did not incline their ear. To hearken is to listen, give heed, and it's a very specific meaning in the Hebrew. It's to listen, to give heed, and to obey. It's a process of I'm listening to words, I assimilate them in my mind, I understand what they mean, and I realize that that is what I need to do, and I then obey and do those things. It is a process of not just listening, but a process that leads to the action of obedience. The rebel doesn't listen. The rebel doesn't recognize that what he hears is to be followed. It's nothing more than pride in the heart and life. The pride that says, I don't want to listen to this. I don't care. I don't have to give heed. I don't have to obey. I don't have to follow this into practice. They did not hearken and they did not incline their ear. That is a word in the Hebrew that is a deliberate action of stretching out, extending. In other words, there is no effort put into understanding the Word of God. There's no effort put into hearing the Word of God. Maybe it's when the pastor is preaching. Perhaps it's when the parents are maybe giving you scripture devotions or going over things with you. Maybe it's a teacher in the Christian school that's going over the Word of God. Maybe it's a chapel time. But you are not going to incline your ear. You are not going to make an effort to reach out and listen and take those words. You know, they used to say when I was a kid, don't sit there like a bump on a log. You never heard of that little phrase? I'm afraid sometimes we're like that, aren't we? Maybe it's a chapel time. Maybe it's a message where God's Word is being preached and we're just bumps on a log. We're not putting any effort into processing what is being said and putting it into the action of my heart and life. You know, it could even be daily times in God's Word. Well, I'm going to read my Bible because my parents will ask me, so I'm just going to quick read my Bible. Yeah. Okay. Done. There's no effort in that. You're not inclining your ear to hear. I tell the young people many times, I say, there's no magical formula of how much Bible you have to read. Read something to understand it and learn from it and apply it into practice. That's more valuable if it's just one verse than reading 10 chapters and not understanding it. But putting that effort to learn and understand God's Word. The rebel says, I'm not going to hear. And you can't make me. And if I want to sit here with a mean look on my face and not listen to the teacher or not listen to my parents, then I'm going to do it. That's the path of the rebel. Number one, don't listen to God's Word. Number two this morning, second step in the path of a rebel, do what you want to do and don't let anyone stop you. Go ahead and make your mind up that you're going to do what you want to do. And no one is going to stand in your way. Not your parents, not your friends, not any pastors in your life or authority. No one is going to stand in my way. Boy, look at verse number 24 in the middle. Instead of inclining the ear, what did they do? They walked in the counsels and imagination of their evil heart. Their evil heart directed them to a certain path, and we're going to do what we want, and no one is going to stop. Boy, is that not the great mantra of the day? Follow your heart. You hear that, don't you? Follow your heart. Just do what feels right. What happened to these people when they followed the imaginations of their own heart? They went directly opposite from what God's Word said. That's our heart. That's our sinful heart. It's all about, you know, building up an egocentric child or something. Just cater to your own desires. The two things here in verse 24, the counsels and the imaginations. Let's look at these. Doing what you want to do and not letting anyone stop you. First of all, the counsels. They are deliberations or actively making plans. Well, I'm just going to bide my time a little bit longer. You know, my parents, I can get them off my back because I'll go to church and I'll pretend to like I'm paying attention, or I'll do what they say here and there. But, you know, I'm just waiting. I'm planning. I'm deliberating. I'm scheming what I'm going to do in 2 years, for example, or next month, or when I graduate, or when I'm on my own. I've got it all worked out. I'm planning and scheming. Maybe it's going on in your minds right now, this very moment. You're planning high school, middle school, but you're already making plans of how you're going to scheme, how you're going to do what you want to do. What does that tell you? That rebellion is rooted in wrong thinking. Wrong thinking. It's thinking through your own heart instead of God's heart. And that encourages you to do what you want. You're going to make a plan. You're going to make counsels in your own heart. Secondly, there's the imaginations. Imaginations is a word that literally is translated stubbornness. And that's why I said, do what you want and don't let anybody stop you. Doing what you want comes from your counsels. You've deliberated, you've planned it, you've schemed it, and now no one's going to stop me because I'm stubborn and I'm doing it my way. They've been devising and scheming, and now they're going into the stubbornness mindset. No one is going to stop me. No one can change my mind. I don't care what they say. My mind is made up, and that plan is going to unfold. The scheming, the counseling. Step one, don't listen to God's Word. Step two, plan to do what you want and don't let anybody stop you. Let's move on. Step three, verse 24 at the end of the verse. Do the exact opposite of what you were taught. That's what a rebel does. Do the exact opposite of what you were taught. Verse 24, the end of the verse, and went what direction? Backward, not forward. You know, the path has been prepared and laid out. I've mentioned this before. We mentioned it in chapter 6 when we talked about that verse that said, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old path. Where's the good way? And walk therein. The path is paved for you. Now, there's some people that there isn't a path paid for. I've told you about my own before. I grew up in a Christian home. My parents had me in a Christian school, wanted me to do what's right, Bible college on. It was paved for me. And you don't think the temptation was there as a teenager to say, I ain't walking in that. Yeah, the temptation's there. But by God's mercy and grace, chose that path. And my parents, all the years of investment to go down that path. It's not like that for everybody. I think about my own dad. My own dad grew up in a terrible home. 4 or 5 divorces, terrible sin all the time. He ended up getting into drugs and ended up being in prison, got saved in prison, got out of prison, went to Bible college. The path wasn't prepared for my dad, but God was gracious, wasn't He? The path was prepared for me. How foolish it would have been for me to go, I'm not doing the old way, I'm going my way. That's the rebel. Do exactly the opposite of what you were taught. The idea here is that they grew worse instead of better. It's just so ironic that the rebel thinks that what he goes down, and when he chooses to go this other direction, he thinks it's going to be a lot better for him. I'm going to be with my friends, and we're going to be doing all kinds of fun stuff, and woo, it's just going to be awesome. And they don't realize that they're growing worse instead of better, rejecting everything that they have been taught. You know, how does this happen? Just throw out what you were taught. How does it start? Making fun of it. Making fun of it. Making light of the Bible. Making fun of your parents. I can't believe my mom and dad. They're so behind the times. They just need to get in tune with things. I mean, they aren't even on Instagram yet. I don't know what their problem is. They're just so foolish, thinking I'm going to do this religious stuff. Making fun of your parents, making fun of the pastor, making fun of the preaching of God's Word, making fun of the Bible. Maybe it's being taught in Christian school or in chapel, and you're just making fun of it. Just mock it with some of your friends, and this is a big fun time. And just blow everything off that ridiculous Christian school. They don't know what they're talking about. I'm having a great life. I don't know if I should say this or not, but it kind of gives me a little bit of it shouldn't make me chuckle, but it makes me shake my head. You know, you have kids that hate the Christian school, end up leaving it, and they go throw their lives away. Their lives are full of drugs and terrible things, and they talk about how bad the school is. That's the rebel. That's the rebel. I don't want what the Bible says. I'm doing it my way. And we're going to see what the final commentary is. It's one of destruction. It's what happened to Israel. You turn around and you go the opposite way that you were taught. Every one of you young people in here have parents that love you, have parents that want you to know the truth, but the rebel says, I'm going the backwards direction. No thank you. Don't listen to the principles of God's Word. Do what you want to do, plan it, and don't let anybody stop you. Thirdly, do the exact opposite of what you were taught. Fourth this morning, very similar to number three, ignore the voice of godly people in your life. Ignore godly people in your life, verses 25 through 26. Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt, I have even sent unto you all my servants the prophets daily, rising up early and sending them, yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. When the rebel starts going down his path, when the rebel finally makes his scheming and his planning come to fruition, and he starts living that path of rebellion, and he starts going that opposite direction, there are going to be those that warn. There are going to be those that are concerned. Maybe it's the parent that comes to them in love, weeping, and saying, I'm concerned with what you're doing. I know you're 18 or 20 years old on your own, but I'm concerned for you spiritually. And be quiet, Mom. Maybe it's a pastor who's praying for you and witnessing and maybe writing letters to you to reach out to you to help you to see the error of your way. And I don't want nothing to do with that. Ignore the voice of godly people. The rebel wants nothing to do with that voice and immediately scoffs at it and rejects it. Here, rising up early and sending indicates persistency and urgency. It's an urgent matter to the Lord that the rebel not be rebellious. Is it an urgent matter in our hearts when we see young people going down the path of rebellion? Is there persistency and urgency? There's a chance that the wrong direction might be reversed. That's God's prayer. Notice the response of the people to this urgent and persistent challenge. They hardened their neck. They said, we're not going to listen. Same response as verse number 24. We're not going to listen. We're not inclining our ear. When God's Word was being presented to them, they didn't listen. Now they're farther down that road of rebellion. God's pleading with them to stop and pleading with them to return, but they still will not listen. You know, I think that God is still showing His mercy here. Even when the rebel goes down his path, God is giving opportunities for them to hear the Word of God. He sends godly people to stop and warn them and to tell them what you're doing is against the Lord. But the fool scoffs. The fool hardens his heart. The fool goes deeper into his own plans. And that is the heart of the rebel. He ignores the voice of God's people. Ignores the voice of God's people. You know, I'm sure you could see the many examples of those that have foolishly turned away counsel. Warning, I can't make the decision for you, but the Bible says this, and I want you to know you should probably choose this direction, and the Bible supports this, and sometimes people just foolishly make their own choices. Well, the rebel doesn't want to listen to any of that counsel. Don't talk to me. Leave me alone. slam the door and lock up in your bedroom or whatever. That's the heart of a rebel. Number five, take sin to a new level. That's what the rebel does. He takes sin to a new level. Look at the end of verse number 26. This little phrase caught my eye. They did worse than their fathers. They did worse than their fathers. The things that he's devised, the things that have been planned, and the things that you're going to do were things that are new that weren't even seen in the previous generation. And we've talked about that before, how sin just continues to grow. You know, think about Genesis chapter 6, where man just continued to deepen in his sin to where the thoughts and imagination of his heart was evil continually. It took some time to get there, generation after generation, worse and worse and worse. That's what sin does. And the rebel says, I'm going to go even farther. My parents taught me this stuff. I'm going to show them. It indicates the boldness. The boldness of rebellion. I'm not afraid to flaunt my sin. I'm not afraid to flaunt my choices. I'm going to do what I want to do. I've seen it before. I've witnessed it. The rebel. When you're around people, you know, I'm blast my music louder. You know, I'm going to drop some cursing and swearing just to show them I don't care what they think. You see that a lot. Spread lies. Boldness in sin. Thumbing the nose at God's Word. I want everybody to know I don't agree with this Bible stuff. And I'm going to be so deep in my sin, it's going to be a new level. That's the heart of the rebel. The spiraling effects of sin. We're bold. We could do the things that we were always told were wrong. But now since I don't believe God's Word and I'm my own standard, I can do what I want to do and I can live free. Live free. You hear that today, you know? I can do what I want. And sin goes to a deeper level. This is the boldness of the rebel. Take sin to a new level. Just two more this morning as we close. Number six. This is an important one. Verse 27. Here's what the rebel does. They're getting farther down that path now. Number six. You want to keep going as a rebel. Then you need to ignore the caution lights and stop signs in your life. Ignore the warning signs. Verse 27. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to them, to thee. Thou shalt call them, and they will not answer thee. We may have at least heard or answered earlier, but now we're just going to completely ignore the voice of warning. It is as if someone is, you know, screaming and yelling at you to stop or look or get out of the way or avoid some danger. And you just don't respond. You just keep on going. They don't know what they're talking about. The bridge is out. Oh, please. You keep driving. Big red light. The bridge is out. Okay. Yeah, that happens. We just ignore. Ignore. Same thing here with the rebel. God often brings circumstances into the life of the rebel to get your attention. Now, I'm not saying that everything that happens in the life is because of God judging or God trying to stop you, but I think sometimes it does. And I think sometimes we ignore it. You know, you hear about maybe it's a big tragedy in your life. Maybe a loved one dies. Maybe you get in a really bad car accident and you almost die. Maybe it's the revealing of secret sin in your life. God's trying to get your attention. The rebel ignores it. The rebel plays those things off as just normal daily activity. It's just part of life. Yeah, so I got in a car wreck. What do you know? Almost died. Well, let's go back to being a rebel. Don't you think we ought to stop and consider when things come up in our life, when big things happen that shake and turn our entire life upside down? You might want to stop and ask the Lord, what is going on in my life? What direction am I doing? It might be the time to turn to the Lord instead of continuing in the hardened heart. Here, these people continued to ignore God. As we're going to see, there were three deportations for Judah. Babylon came over three times. And you would think that after the first time, they might have gotten the message. But they didn't. So Babylon came again. And you think, well, they really should have gotten the message. We're going to be destroyed over here. But what, they continued to harden their hearts, and it took the third time of complete annihilation God doesn't want you to get to that third deportation. He wants you to turn to Him. And He puts circumstances and cautions and warnings and trying to stop you in your life from these things, intervening. But if you want to be the rebel, you ignore it. Ignore it. Final thing this morning goes along with one that we already talked about back in number 3 or 4. Is in verse number 28. Reject completely everything you were ever taught. We talked earlier about doing the opposite of what you were taught. This is a little bit different. It's rejecting everything you were taught. Throwing it completely out. It'd be as if someone turned from growing up as a Christian home or whatever to being a complete atheist. Something like that. Just totally throw out everything you were taught. Verse 28. This is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. This is faithfulness has perished. If you want to summarize this in the Hebrew, faithfulness has perished. It has gone from their lips. Faithfulness is the idea there. Truth being perished is the idea that you're not faithful to what you believe. That's the final frontier of rebellion. Up to then it has been activity of doing things in rebellion. But now it has affected the complete throwing away of truth in your mind. I am not going to be faithful to the truth of God's Word. The final frontier of rebellion. And it is cut off from their mouth. They won't speak the truth anymore. This message and the path of the rebel, you know, it can be applied to so many different situations. It can be applied to our nation today. Think about the things that our nation has done to turn from the principles of God's Word and doing the exact opposite of what this nation was founded on. The voice of godliness now is being subdued. We've totally thrown out any idea of truth. And now, you know, all those that speak of truth, there's bigots and they're hateful people. We don't need to have these people in our country. And the nation is just continuing to deepen in its sin, despite all those warning signs and the things that God brings into this country to allow us to maybe turn back to Him. But this nation has continued to deepen its level of sin, continued to be hard and stubborn in its heart. And you know that the judgment is going to come very soon. But what about us in our personal lives? How about us who have heard the truth of God's Word, who've grown up listening to the Bible being preached, who've grown up in Sunday school, in church, in the Christian school, when our parents giving devotions to us, with reading our Bible in a Christian home? Are you biding your time anxious to be that rebel? Israel did it. It ended up in total destruction, unrecognizable landscape. The same will happen to our lives if we reject that. If we don't want what we've been taught, we turn from it, we'll answer to the Lord for it. We'll be accountable to it. I pray this morning for our hearts. I pray for our young people. The temptation is so strong to just throw it out. And then bitterness takes over and other things replace it in the heart and you go your own way and it ends up in a path of destruction. Let's bow our heads this morning. Perhaps there's some of you this morning that have heard this message and seen these steps of the rebel. And maybe the Lord's worked in your heart. Maybe some of you know the things in your heart that are against the truth, going in a direction that is not in line with God's Word. And you know it. You're hiding things. You're biding your time to be the rebel. And you want me to simply pray for you this morning. You just want to slip up your hand. I'll pray for you. I'll ask the Lord to soften your heart. Father, I ask that You bless these that have gathered here this morning. Lord, I pray that there would not be the story of rebellion as an epitaph across our lives. Lord, Israel is the perfect example of just continual, apathetic rejection of God's word. Lord, deliver us. Deliver us from this. Pray that all of us would be more faithful. But Father, from our parents and grandparents down to our children, our teenagers, that Lord, we would desire to be faithful to the truth, to allow it to guide and direct our lives. May we not take the rebel's path. I ask that you bless now the remainder of this service and bring us back again tonight. In Christ's name, amen.
Turn, please, to number 406 as we close our service today. We want to understand that this is a personal thing. It's not an accumulated thing. God deals with us one at a time. We're going to sing on stanza two. And as we sing the question, are you praying for revival? Let's think in terms of the word revival, meaning returning, turning my path back to where it ought to be. Sing the word revival, but think of it as returning to the Lord in our hearts. Let's stand together, please, as we sing. Gracious Heavenly Father, what a wonderful thing it is to walk in obedience to our Lord and Savior. And so, Lord, we do pray that you will create in our hearts a strong desire for this, to keep us from the path of a rebel and to keep us in the path of your blessing and your peace and your love. Now dismiss us with thy blessing, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.